Boogity, boogity.
Just kidding. Oh, welcome to Memory Static, the podcast where we find all the movies that you loved when you were a kid, talk about them and your memories about them, and then throw a party with our friends to watch them. I'm your host, Bailey Moore, and I am so excited about the movies we're going to be watching tonight. And yes, I did just say movies. We have a double feature in store for everyone.
Double feature in the house. Double feature.
And this is my...
grand cousin.
Well, my guest.
Sorry. And
you're getting a little ahead of me. I wanted to talk about how excited I was that I had this really special person, and that, you know, that, you know, you have, man, now I've completely lost. I'm just so excited. The words aren't even coming out. My cousin. Yes. There we go. And his name is Sean Stone.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me. This is very exciting. This is my first podcast, and there's no one other that I'd rather be doing this with than my favorite cousin ever, Bailey Moore. We've known each other for going on 33 years now. The stories go on, and I'm sure you'll be able to hear plenty of those stories throughout the night.
Yes, I'm really excited. Ah, okay, I keep saying that word, but you know, sometimes when you know, like, you are really excited, that's the only word that you can come up with. So, anyway, Sean, the movies that we're gonna watch tonight are some of the only movies that I can almost quote all the way through. Can you please tell us what we're gonna be watching?
We are gonna be watching the first and second series of the series of Mr. Boogity.
Yes, Mr. Boogity and the sequel, Bride of Boogity.
Yes, yes. These were made for TV, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
And we grew up watching these on none other than VHS.
Yes.
So we were dealing with a lot of tracking.
Recorded VHS off the television.
I'm afraid that we watched them too many times and had to deal with a little too much static as the years went on, but...
Yes, actually, we're going to be watching a transfer of that VHS.
So we'll see that static in action.
Yes. So double pirated. But you know what? You can't find this movie anywhere because they've never released it.
Nobody knows about it, really, but Bailey and I think...
It's not true. You'd be surprised. I have come across a few people. I remember the first person I ever came across, other than people in our family, that includes Lindsay and Jenny and Charlie and Chaney, was a friend in college named Christy.
Hey, Christy. Thanks, Christy, for actually knowing your movie knowledge.
That's the only other Mr. Boogity fan. I'm just kidding. There's been a couple other people recently that have watched Mr. Boogity. Yeah, anyway, wait, that's boring. Let's move on.
Moving on.
All right. So, what are some of your favorite memories about these movies?
Well, when we grew up, it was in your house. It was in your older house. And I remember that you had a nice set of bunk beds there. You had this really cool closet.
I remember
we were big Ghostbuster fans, and we loved to scare the crap out of each other. And we would do anything to scare the crap out of each other, especially scare the crap out of your little sister on many occasions.
So that's me, the Helen Hunt.
And so a lot of our growing up, whether it was around Halloween or whether it wasn't around Halloween, was reading through scary stories or Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps and a lot of stuff like that, or just putting us in scary situations.
When you mentioned that I had a really great closet, it was wasn't a huge closet, but for kids, like, we could fit a few of them on the floor, and we'd all sit in my closet and tell ghost stories in the dark.
We would definitely love to scare the crap out of each other and elicit that fear, and we did it very well, and it was definitely a memorable part of my childhood. And we loved building forts with the bunk beds, and we would all pack in. And I remember on many occasions watching movies and making a large bowl of popcorn.
popcorn was essential. And then we'd have races to see who could eat the most.
They got to a point where we would only allow each other one kernel at a time because we were afraid that we were cheating each other out of the other popcorn.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe we subjected you to that rule. I remember that my sister and I definitely had it. We had to sit over the popcorn bowl and chicken peck them out one at a time. And we'd do it so quickly that still the popcorn would disappear in 2 minutes and we wouldn't watch the movie while we were doing it.
I'm always the one that's a handful of popcorn, so I was the culprit that would make the bowl eliminate the bowl quicker than anybody else.
I probably, you know, knowing how I was when I was younger, I probably like would fuss at you if you didn't follow our rules.
There was definitely some fussing going on, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect that from the Helen Hunt.
Another great thing that I remember, another little snack that we would eat while we were watching our horror movies, was taking ramen noodles and crushing them up with the seasoning in a sandwich baggie.
Yes, and then eating, shaking it up.
Shaking it up and eating it dry. It's another thing that's very obscure, and but I'll always remember. And it's a quite delightful treat.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we watch lots and lots of scary movies. But back to Mr. Boogity.
Back to Mr. Boogity.
Do you have any specific memories around Mr. Boogity?
Well, when growing up, I remember we watched it probably 3 to 5 times around this season, over and over and over, whether it was at your house or whether it was at grandma's house, those VHSs were in tow.
Yes. What I remember is that anytime I had cousins visit, I would make them watch this movie, Mr. Boogity, Bride of Boogity, and also House on Haunted Hill, but we're not talking about that movie right now.
Oh, what a good one, though.
Yes, and that's what I remember.
Absolutely.
I have a specific memory of us going to Chuck E. Cheese, and this is when I think Chaney and I and my parents were living with my grandma, and we went to Chuck E. Cheese, you and Charlie, and me and Chaney, and we came back from Chuck E. Cheese and put those movies in and made a pallet on the floor, and everybody took a nap except for me because I didn't nap, and we watched those movies.
Yeah, it was great. You had your TV mounted in the top corner of your room, and we would just lay there, and it was just movie nights over and over and over. Back to other horror movies that we used to love. My love for Vincent Price, I can definitely give credit to Bailey. You know, House on the Haunted Hill. Another good one. Just love scaring the crap out of each other. And this is one that, not so scary, a little more kitschy, a little funny, but really amazing. Enough for us to watch it probably 1,000 times over our lifetime. So
yeah, this is, so I want to share with you, and this is really silly, kind of like this weird thing I'm going to share with everybody right now. But this movie, I watched so many times, and that I kept watching it periodically throughout college, and all this stuff's kind of my comfort movie, and I know this movie so well. I mentioned before I could quote it all the way through, that sometimes when I couldn't sleep at night, I would play this movie through my head and go through all the dialogue to try to go to sleep.
It's been tough being away from these movies for so long. Because Bailey was the one that was in possession of these movies. So growing up, we watched them so many times. And then I remember as Bailey went off to college and I went off to college, there's been this long period of time where these movies have been away from me, and that VHS copy has been away from me. And I think at one occasion I did go on Amazon Prime and searched it out and watched it. And brought back all those memories. So the excitement that I get to sit here and watch these movies again with Bailey is overwhelming. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So what, like, how long would you say it's been since you've watched these movies?
Goodness, I would say, well, it had to have been when I was in the Woodlands. So I was been in downtown Houston. I live in Houston, so it's been 5 years. So it's been over 5 years, probably around the 7-year mark. It's the last time that I saw these movies. So I can only imagine that you've got all the beta and all the secrets on these movies. And you'll probably be able to quote them a little better than I will. But it'll be really exciting to relive these memories with you again.
I'm going to have to try really hard not to quote the movie while watching the movie, because I know there's a lot of people who've never seen it before. And, you know, and it might not be a movie for everybody. And that's okay, because we don't have to be friends.
It's not for everybody. It's for me and you, Bailey. It's for me and you. Let's be honest.
That's true. Okay. Before I move on to like some of the other things I want to ask you, I wanted to say, do you remember when I lived at grandma's house, or sometimes like even after we moved out of grandma's house, just to like give some context to like paint the picture, my grandma lived in this old like 1950s home that had like some add-ons that just kind of added onto the building from the outside. And so there was a window in the kitchen that used to look outside, but now it just looked into another room that was filled with beds and a piano. Beds and a piano and lots of creepy artwork. I think one of them was made by your mom.
Yes, it looked like Frankenstein.
It looked like it's a floating head in the woods.
Yeah, made out of clay. Something my mom made at Spring Branch High, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so that room especially was pretty creepy. And we had, you know, because we love to scare ourselves, like you mentioned, we had a particular story about something in that room. Do you remember what it was?
Do I remember what story in that room?
Let me give you a hint. There was a broken television in there.
The Raw Papa 2 tacos.
That's it?
The Raw Papa 2 tacos. Yes. I do not.
What?
Yeah.
Let me repeat. The Raw Papa 2 tacos.
The Raw Papa 2 tacos.
If this doesn't give you context to how far our imaginations went at this age, then I don't know what else will help you, but the Raw Papa 2 tacos.
He lived in the broken television. And if we didn't pay respects to the Raw Papa 2 tacos and like act, you know, respectfully freaked out in that room, we were afraid that he would come out of the television and get us.
And get us. Yes, he would come and haunt us and come after us. And that broken television offered a lot of fear. It was very scary.
But at the same time, the name was so ridiculous that we laughed at it, which I have to like attribute to Mr. Boogity, because not only is it a spooky, scary movie, it is also very silly.
Yeah, very kitschy. It's kind of family friendly. A lot of it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Just for those of you that are listening that have never seen these movies before, I'm not going to spoil too much, but just to like give you some context, it's about a family that loves practical jokes, and they move to Lucifer Falls into a haunted house that's haunted by Mr. Boogity and Maid Marian and her son Jonathan, and Mr. Boogity blew up his house.
It sounds like you're giving a little bit too much of the story
away. But that's it.
Away.
Well, that, no, that's it. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Save some for the viewers now. Save some for the viewers.
Yes, of course. It's hard.
It's too good. It's too good not to.
All right. So
that,
like
that old piano in that room too. It was never tuned properly. So we would always find ways to try to play little creepy sounds on it as well.
There's nothing scarier than a piano out of tune when you don't know how to play it and you're a kid.
Yeah.
So, did you ever have like any dreams that you had that when you woke up it felt like it didn't quite leave you?
Not necessarily dreams that didn't quite leave me, but I did have, many a nights in that house after, we had scared the crap out of each other with the Raw Papa 2 ghost and with amongst other scary stories, where as a small child, I would end up knocking on my grandmother's door and my grandmother would wake up in the middle of the night. And she would ask me what's wrong, and I'd say, I'm scared. Can I please sleep with you? And I would end up sleeping right next to my grandmother, and she was such a great grandmother that she would always allow me to sleep next to her. I could sleep nice and calmly. But it's an old house. It makes noises. It's
a creepy house.
It's a creepy house. there was this great bed. We used to call it the marshmallow bed. I'm sure it was from the 1950s as well. And so I'm sure the spirits that bed carried with it only elicited more fear in my life. But I remember just being scared many a times as a young child and ended up in grandma's bed on multiple occasions.
Well, I have some stories real fast. So one that happened recently, and I think this is just kind of funny, but I had this dream. So, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So I have a pet rat. His name is Cricket. And he was like asleep in his little donut bed, which I have in the top drawer in my closet, because sometimes he just goes up there and sleeps, and he's just so cute in there. And when I went to bed, he was curled up in that donut bed, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna leave you there. We'll see how this goes. And so I went to sleep, and then I had this dream that there were all these really cute tamed squirrels in the park. And they were just coming up and like wanting to be pet and like licking my face. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And so I was petting one and it was going across my chest. And then I got to like its tail and I was like, that's not a squirrel. That's a rat. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, it's Cricket. And he was so excited. He's like, oh, you're awake. Let me lick your hands and Brooks and stuff. And I was like, oh, you're so sweet. I'm putting you away now.
Bailey the rat lady.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, I remember having this dream once, because my sister was always very scared and at night. And so for a while, we slept in the same room. And I remember one night I was having this dream of being in a haunted house and having the skeleton that was chasing me all over the house, room to room. I couldn't get away from it. And then finally, like, I went into this one room and it didn't seem to follow me. And I was like, okay, we're safe. And so then I heard this noise coming from the closet, and I opened the closet, and the skeleton was in the closet, and it fell out on top of me and pinned me to the floor. And then I woke up and my sister had rolled over on top of me.
So when we used to watch, was it The Haunting with yes. Vincent Price?
No, The Haunting was not with Vincent Price.
I'm sorry, The Haunted House on the Haunted Hill. And there's a vat of acid in the basement.
Yes.
And there was this really creepy skeleton.
Yes.
Tied to strings, which yes. you could clearly see. and it came lunging forward and it ended up pushing somebody into this vat of acid. I wonder if after watching that movie about several hundred times, if that ended up turning into your dream of this skeleton coming and attacking
oh,
you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that had a hand in that. But the weird thing was, and this is the reason why I remember it, was how did I know my sister was going to roll over on top of me? How did my dream set that up before it happened?
Dreams are a mysterious thing.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
All right. So my next question for you. Do you remember having performing? So like I said, the family in this, they're the practical jokers. Did you have any memories of playing any pretty good practical jokes?
Practical jokes came about in different ways. I would say growing up with my family, if I was going to say anybody that liked to play practical jokes with me, is my mother, Susie Stone, who I love so much. And I remember, I've been growing up in the same house that my parents live in now, forever, for the most part. And, there were times when we had this really, really old, creepy grandfather mask that had really stringy hair and had wrinkles all over. And this,
yes!
And this Halloween mask had to have come from the late 80s, maybe early 90s. My parents probably bought it to play jokes on each other.
Can I interject for just a second?
Absolutely.
So it wasn't just this mask. They had this secret compartment underneath their stairs. So you had to go through the closet under the stairs, and there was this little crawl space that was hidden. And you'd go into the crawl space, and that's where that creepy mask was.
My parents did always keep that creepy mask, which they still have for some reason. It's now 30, 40-year-old mask. And my mother thought it would be really funny to play a game where I would count to a certain number, probably 20, and I would, she would run around the house, and she would have that mask on, and she would hide in particular places. We would turn off all the lights, and little Sean, being anywhere from the age of 7 to 14, would tiptoe around the house, afraid of every angle, afraid to look under every blanket, afraid behind every door, that she would be there. And it was so hard to find her. She was really good at hiding. And as the suspense would build, all of a sudden I would find her and she would jump out and grab me with this scary mask on and scare the crap out of me and then take off running in the other direction she could go hide somewhere else.
I had no idea that happened to you.
And so I don't know if I was the greatest practical joker, but my mom was really good at scaring the crap out of me. And there were times, even to further this, that living in Huntsville, we would deal with these ice storms. Huntsville, Texas, just north of Houston. We would deal with these ice storms or crazy weather. And the power at our house would be really shoddy. And so we would have these power outages that would make the house really dark. And so it starts out by lighting a few candles throughout the house. And then my mother would decide that that's the good time to play the scare game.
Oh, my God. And I probably would have loved it.
I loved it. And I hated it at the exact same time. Like, at the end, I would laugh. And it would, my heart would be racing to death, and we would just keep doing it over and over and over until I couldn't handle it anymore. And then she would come back to being this comforting mother, and we would probably just hang out and, you know, whenever the power comes back on, end up watching some I Love Lucy or something like that, or Mary Tyler Moore.
That's a good come down. Yeah. My story is not nearly as good as that, so like I'll just skip it.
No, please.
I wasn't really a practical joker. So there was only like a few things that I ever attempted, and I guess this is the one that kind of like goes on the side of like me actually being a terrible older sister, but I thought it would be funny to play a prank on my sister and my cousin Sydney, and I told them I told them that if they went outside and put mud all over their skin, it would make their skin really soft and beautiful. And so then they went outside and started covering themselves in mud in their bathing suits. And my mom thought it was the cutest thing ever. So she got out her camera and started snapping pictures. And then I was jealous because they were getting all the attention. So I jumped in with them and started covering myself with mud.
Of course. Of course. But isn't that actually like good for your skin now? So actually kind of you did know what you were talking about back then
I think it's just any dirt.
Oh, right.
But, you know, like I said, this is not a normal thing. It was just one thought that occurred to me once. And the pictures of that, where she got the pictures developed, they thought the picture of all three of us in the mud was so cute. They put it in the window display for a really long time.
For everyone to enjoy for existence.
Okay, one more thing before it's time for the like slow-moving time machine, because I hear people arriving and getting ready. So, you know, Mr. Boogity, this might be a little bit of a spoiler, but Mr. Boogity sells his soul to the devil for a magic cloak. What would you do with a magic cloak?
What would I do?
Well, first of all, would you sell your soul to the devil for a magic cloak?
That is the question. That seems like a lot riding on just a magic cloak.
Well, I mean, this is a magic cloak where it seems you could do anything with it. Mr. Boogity just wasn't creative. You'll know when you watch the movie.
if I could manage the magic cloak better than Mr. Boogity does, then I might sell my soul to the devil for the magic cloak. And I'd like to think if I had a magic cloak, I would do good things with it as opposed to negative things with it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that we're about ready to start the movie. So let's go ahead and step into the slow moving time machine.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Watch this little step right here.
I don't want to trip on that step. You should paint it yellow.
Noted. All right. So now that we're in here, I know this is your first time in this space. So if you find yourself like feeling a little dizzy or queasy or just not right, let me know, because I didn't warn you ahead of time, but you are not your full self right now. Like, you've been split into two realities.
I don't know if I can handle being split into two realities, but I will absolutely do my best. I'm a little afraid.
So, well, okay. Well, don't be afraid. I'm here with you.
Thank you.
We're here together.
Thank you.
And I've done this many times.
There's no one here.
I'm like 95% sure that you'll come out the other end and feel completely the way you did before.
That's a relief.
Yeah. So the way it works is them out there moving slower than in here, but okay. Only slightly.
Okay.
Because we're going to rejoin them, and you'll remember watching the movie.
Okay.
Because you're out there as well.
Right.
But in the meantime, I have a lot of stuff to tell you about.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
So Mr. Boogity came out in 1986, and Bride of Boogity came out shortly thereafter in 1987, and I'll tell you why those are so close later. So let's start with cast and crew. And so let me preface this by saying I love these movies so much that I'm like proud sibling of all of these people. Like, it just doesn't matter like what their accomplishments are. I'm like, oh, good for you. I just love it so much. Okay, so the director is Odd Scott. And he's an accomplished TV director, directing hundreds of episodes, including episodes of Black Lightning, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Criminal Minds, Gotham, CSI New York, Boston Legal, among lots of others. He has received several awards for stage productions and the NAACP Image Award. So he also directed the made-for-TV Disney movie The Cheetah Girls.
Okay.
Which was, you know, did pretty well. And then the writer is Michael Hanover. Does that last name sound familiar to you?
Michael Hanover. Yes, that's in the movie.
Yeah, Mr. Boogity. When he was a pilgrim.
Yes.
His name is William Hanover.
Before he got that cloak.
Yeah. Yeah, then it was Mr. Boogity. let's see. Okay, so the stars. Now getting into the cast. For some reason, with very few exceptions, nobody includes Mr. Boogity in their bios.
He was an integral part, but he's not in the bios. That's unfortunate.
So when I was little, this movie and its characters were so important to me. It's the first time I can really remember working out the concept of characters being actors. And I wondered how often they thought about Mr. Boogity and if it was significant to them in the same way that it was to me. And I guess the answer to those two questions is never and not at all. But because we're talking about what these movies meant to us,
right,
and not to them,
right,
when talking about their careers, I'm dividing them into two categories, BB, before Boogity, and AB, after Boogity.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So Carlton, the father of the movie, was played by Richard Messour. If I'm saying that right.
Who was hilarious.
Yes. So BB, he was a recurring character in a few TV series, including Rhoda and One Day at a Time. And he played the character Clark in John Carpenter's The Thing.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I think we watched that movie for the first time together.
I was fortunate enough to see John Carpenter at Day for Night like 2 years ago. Wow. What an amazing spectacle that he put on. Jesus.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. John Carpenter is amazing.
Okay. And then he was Rutherford and Risky Business. Now, after Boogity. He was Mr. Morgan in Encino Man. He was the dad in My Girl. He worked as a character on Transparent and Orange is the New Black. And Eloise,
the wife.
The laughter.
Yeah. Yeah, the wife. What a special character.
So her, that's Mimi Kennedy. And BB, she had several recurring roles on short-lived sitcoms. And AB, she has lots of guest starring roles on TV shows. I saw her in an episode of Veep, and I was really excited that I recognized her because it took me a minute. She's Abby O'Neill in Dharma and Greg, and most recently she's Mom in Mom with Anna Faris.
I feel cheated that I haven't seen these characters in their new roles. I feel very jealous of you.
Yeah.
I would have gotten very excited to see these characters in their roles.
Yeah. Interesting fact, she met her husband through the very first computer dating program called Operation Match in 1966, and they're still married.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Why doesn't online dating work like that anymore?
This wasn't online dating. This was computer dating. This is 1966.
We're talking about O's and ones and like first computer dating here, and they're still together?
Yes.
Man, sounds like magic at first sight. Love. True love.
All right. Corwin is David Faustino. And do you recognize that name?
The older brother.
Yeah, he's the older brother. Very good.
Yeah, sorry. His acting name, sorry.
Yeah, BB first appeared in television as a three-month-year-old and guest starred in many TV shows. And AB, he was in Married with Children. He was Bud Bundy.
Bud Bundy, yeah. Really? Married with Children?
Yeah. So, like, pretty successful after Mr. Boogity, I have to say. And he was also Mako in The Legend of Korra. And, oh boy, he was in Sharknado 4.
I, unfortunately, have not seen Sharknado 4.
So, a little interesting fact about this role. Joaquin Phoenix auditioned to play Corwin, and they went with David Faustino.
He beat out Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's pretty impressive.
And one other thing is that, in the early 90s, when he was Bud Bundy on Married with Children, he wrote a rap album called Ballistics, and his rap name was D Little.
Have you had a chance to listen to that album?
I've listened to the song that's on YouTube, the one song called I Told Ya.
I can only imagine how hot that song is.
Well, I would recommend like looking it up, 'cause those lyrics are, exactly what you'd expect.
So it's not quite chart topping, but still worth looking up.
It's interesting. I don't really know what to say. I don't know what to say. Just a few more for this movie. Neil Witherspoon is played by none other than John Astin, who, if you don't know, he was Gomez Adams in the original Adams Family. He was in so many things that we watched when we were kids, just like so many things. Like he was in Erie, Indiana. And I mean, that's the one thing I can come up with off the top of my head, but
he's a very spooky character and definitely the most notable character out of Mr. Boogity.
Yes. I love him so much.
He was very, very great.
And then Widow Marion is played by Catherine Kelly Lang, and BB, not very much. AB, she was Brooke Logan on The Bold and Beautiful and has been in over 4,000 episodes of that.
4,000 episodes? No wonder I haven't started watching The Bold and Beautiful.
I mean, that all those soap operas have been around forever, Sean.
Jesus, 4,000 episodes. That would take you forever to get through that many seasons. I mean,
don't soap operas air every single day?
I think so. Like, they have no lives. It's just like they just keep recording and recording and recording.
Well, but I mean, I'm sure they make a lot of money doing
it. She's got to be rich. I mean, 4,000 episodes equals like $1 billion.
That's extremely, that's like, it's amazing. So good for you, Catherine Kelly Lang. Let's move on to Bride of Boogity.
The Bride of Boogity.
Tom Lynch, of course, is played by Eugene Levy.
Ow, 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 Eugene Levy.
Thank you for that little radio.
Of course, yeah.
So I don't really need to tell you about Eugene Levy. I'm sure everybody knows about him.
Everybody, you should know.
To like start the story off, give me some context. In 1983, it saw the beginning of a new version for Disney. I don't know if we mentioned this before, but this was a made-for-TV Disney movie. It's like, so 1983, new beginning. Can you guess what that was?
No.
It's the year that they left network television and launched their cable network, the Disney Channel.
You had to pay for that.
Yes.
You had to pay for that.
Yes, you did.
My family would not allow me the Disney Channel, and I was denied.
Yeah, it was not something that everybody had.
But I remember that your family had the Disney Channel.
Yeah, we had the Disney Channel.
So when I went to your house, I thought I was like, I got to see all the Disney I desired.
Yeah, Disney was really cool. Like the Disney Channel was much more interesting. It was different. Okay, it was different than it is now, because they were you know, making things for adults as well as kids. They're like programming for adults as well as kids. It wasn't just for kids. So it was a paid for TV service, and it was successful. It was very successful. But executive Michael Eisner and President Frank Wells, who had both been brought into Disney in 1984 in hopes of revitalizing the Walt Disney Company, because as we discussed on the last episode, Disney was not doing very well right then. So like there was a lot of change-ups to like try to save Disney from being taken over by other companies. Those troubles started when Walt Disney died in 1966. So it was kind of like getting to this point where it was like, uh-oh. And they brought in like a whole bunch of new people to try to bring it back out. And so they thought that along with the Disney Channel, that they should also have a strong network presence. And so in 1985, they began making The Golden Girls, which was really, really successful.
Gosh, and I love The Golden Girls.
Yeah, it's a great show. And then in 1986, they established a return to the Sunday night movie, which had been like a big part of Disney's presence on television for a long time. And it was soon to be known as the Magical World of Disney or the Wonderful World of Disney. So it was with the return of the Disney Sunday movie that Mr. Boogity was introduced to television audiences in 1986.
Thank you, Disney. Thank you so much for bringing that back, making it happen.
Yeah, so
I was 1 year old at the time, so
yeah, I was two-ish. So now before we go to so before the movie was released, Mr. Boogity began as a pitch by a writer named Michael Haneover, not to Disney but to Columbia Studios. And it wasn't called Mr. Boogity. It was called Cheap Thrills.
Cheap Thrills.
Yes. And it was meant, and it wasn't for children. It was meant for a prominent comedic duo of the time. Can you guess, like, a comedic duo from that time period?
Comedic duo of the 1980s?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong. Are you kidding me?
No, that's what Mr. Boogity was originally intended for. Isn't that great?
Going back and thinking about that, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, it's not like, but Cheech and Chong, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. So like, you're probably wondering why Mr. Boogity is what we know as Mr. Boogity, and it's not a Cheech and Chong movie. You're going to ask me that question, right?
Yeah. Can what would it be like? Like, how could it go? How could it be a not be a Cheech and Chong movie? How did it end up being Mr. Boogity that we know?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that question, because I have something to tell you. Okay. So it was meant to be a horror movie parody in the same vein as Airplane. And obviously the humor in it was much more adult. So they actually started production on Cheap Thrills with Cheech and Chong, but some of the gags insulted the sensibilities of the head of the studio of the time, who was a strict Catholic. So there was a scene that Hanover speculates was the nail in the coffin as far as the project goes, which involved Max von Sydow, who played Father Marin in The Exorcist. And basically he was playing himself from that movie, but a parody of that character. And he was chasing the father down the hallway with an enema bottle of holy water. And he thinks that that's what did it.
I mean, that's pretty risque for a hardcore Catholic. I can only imagine how he couldn't handle that.
And then so the project was canceled.
Yeah. If I was a hardcore Catholic in the 1980s and somebody was chasing me with an enema bottle of holy water, I would cancel everything immediately.
Like, this is done.
Yeah. Sorry, we're cutting all funds. We're moving on. This is not what I want to be a part of.
So they thought that was it. Project dead in the water. But then Hanover, Michael Hanover, got a call from someone at Disney saying they really liked Cheap Thrills and they wanted to produce it, but to give it the Disney treatment. So that's how Cheap Thrills became Mr. Boogity.
Thank goodness for Disney and their vision of bringing Cheap Thrills to life, because otherwise we would not be having this podcast, and otherwise we would not have been able to watch this movie about 1,000 times.
It's true. So the makeup was done by 2-time Emmy award-winning Rick Stratton. He got his Emmys for X-Files and Alien Nation. But the budget was so small for this movie that they just gave him a mold for a face for a burn victim and was told him to do something with it. And it wasn't even fit to the actor's face. So it looks very mask-like. But when Mr. Boogity premiered, it was so popular with television audiences that a sequel was soon greenlit. And this time he had the budget to cast the piece to fit the actor.
Do we have the actual budgets on the movies?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, because I'm thinking that the budget for the first movie was very low.
Yes.
It was just in an old house. There was like, clearly the makeup was cheap. By the second one, I feel like the budget was still very low.
Oh, you can tell.
But it was the production increased a little bit, and considering that there was a movie the year after, it had to have had some kind of success.
Yeah. I think that it was a risk, and they didn't know how people were going to react to it, and then they loved it. And in fact, Michael Eisner, the executive that I mentioned before, who I didn't talk about this, but there was a lot of effort to make him kind of the new face of Disney in the same way that Walt Disney used to do it. And so many kids recognized his face that people would come up to him at Disney World and want autographs and stuff. And so he, even though he didn't have the same kind of charm that Walt Disney had, so like I think I remember Walt Disney in all his intros was always like standing behind a seat or standing in front of the desk, kind of in this welcome to my office kind of way. And so Michael Eisner did an intro for Mr. Boogity movies. You know, the same way as Walt Disney, he was actually like sitting behind his desk. So it kind of feels more like, instead of being welcomed into the room, it's like you've momentarily inconvenienced him, and you he's still happy to do it, but like as soon as you leave, like you get the sense that he's going to get back to work. So it's like a completely different feel. And so he does an intro, like I said, to Mr. Boogity, and it's really 80s and it's wonderful. And
are we going to get to watch that tonight?
Yeah, actually, when we step out of the Tahoe Moving Time Machine, you'll have memories of watching it.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Bring it back.
So the only other things that I have before it's time to like get back out here and into the party.
Yeah.
I I found that Mr. Boogity is a public figure on Facebook.
A public figure, yeah.
With over 1,500 likes.
I think I've liked him. I think I'm one of those likes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think I'm one of those likes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it. So, you know, look up Mr. Boogity. The first movie you can find on YouTube. The second movie... you can't find on YouTube.
Good
not
luck,
really.
Good luck.
But you can pay for both on Amazon Prime. And that is about the only way you can find it in a way that is really watchable. Now, before we return to the party, I want to say real quickly, Sean, because I love you so much, I have a surprise for you.
Yes. What is the surprise? I'm very excited about this. To everyone listening also, for the money that you spend on Amazon Prime for Mr. Boogity and Bride of Boogity, it is absolutely worth every penny. So if you don't go out there and order these on Amazon Prime, you are missing out on something, on greatness, on sheer greatness. If you're here at the party and you get to view them with us, then you're very fortunate.
Da-da-da-na-na-na. Here you go.
Oh, my God. Bailey has just handed me my own copy of Mr. Boogity and the Bride of Boogity on DVD that I get to take with me and share with all my family and friends that have never seen this. And I'm going to make them watch this over and over and over and over until they cannot stand me anymore. This is so exciting.
I will, just to add to your excitement, I just want to tell you that they're shitty transfers from someone else's VHS.
That makes it even better.
I paid for overnight mail. Get them here to you.
I can just see it now. Like, my friends are going to be so upset when I tell them that we're going to be watching Mr. Boogity and Bride and Boogity again, and they're like, we just watched it last night. And I'm like, I don't care. We're watching it again, so shut up, sit down, and deal with it. Because I love these movies. This is amazing, Bailey. Thank you so much. What a great gift.
Yeah, well, I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay, so let's step out of the time machine and get ready for the rush of being rejoined to your other
right
reality.
Now. My mind is swirling
okay,
right now.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. Boogity.
The super duper supernatural third eye. No one said it with me.
Third eye.
Would Egypt level the pyramids?
No!
Would Arizona fill in the Grand Canyon?
No!
All right. Now that we're warmed up, we've just finished watching The Bride of Boogity, which means that we watched Mr. Boogity before then, and now we're done. So
this time has come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sound effects.
I have a. Ooh, spooky.
There were some very good sound effects in these movies.
Yes. We didn't talk about the music at all before, but the music is there the entire time, and I think it really adds to the whole storytelling.
I do know throughout the entire two movies, I was thoroughly spooked out. And the music had a big, big part in that. Definitely.
Even now, you were spooked out?
Well, Yeah, I'm freaked out, and luckily I'm here with Teddy, so we get to go stay in probably a very creepy hotel room.
I'm glad that you won't
and
be
so
alone tonight.
I won't be alone tonight. So, which is the best news I've had all night.
Well, so I have a few questions for all of our party guests. Firstly, like, did anybody, I don't know, something's happening with nail polish over there. But, you know, that's how parties go.
A little red wine.
A little white wine.
A little white wine, little beer, little nail polish. Exactly.
So, does anybody have any dreams they felt followed them into, you know, being awake?
Oh, yes,
yeah, we pass have. It to Eric.
Eric has a dream.
Okay, so I had a dream that this was an extremely early memory for me, and it was one of those dreams that I was so young that I wasn't sure if it actually happened or if it was a dream, and it came from a Mickey Mouse story. Damn you, Disney! So it was a Mickey Mouse book, and it was like a picture book that my parents read to me before bed, and I was maybe, I don't know, 4 years old, and it had the evil character in this book was this giant black blob character, just a dark spot on the book. And I had a dream where I woke up in my bed in the room that I, you know, was my room that I shared with Crow at the time, and this big black blob was chasing me.
Oh.
And I ran downstairs immediately terrified, and my parents were downstairs and the television was on. It was completely dark. The house completely dark, but I saw this like blue flickering light, and my parents are actually, I don't think my mom was actually there. I think it was just my dad. And my dad was downstairs watching television, and he was watching the movie Free Willy. And I'm running down the stairs, and I burst into the living room, and Dad's watching Free Willy, and I'm like, Dad, there's a black blob chasing me. You gotta help. And he just could not turn his face from the Free Willy. It was just like he was entranced and didn't even pay attention to me. And I was
terrifying.
Like, oh no. And I woke up and I'm like, oh no, this still happening. And like, I can't watch Free Willy anymore.
Whoa, he was sucked completely into the TV.
I see it now, and just this presence is behind me. Sorry, that's the end of the story. There's no.
So you can't watch Free Willy.
Yeah, that's basically.
So that's one we can't cover.
Yeah, I don't. If we have that one on the show, I think I might have to step outside for a little while.
Oh no! Anybody else? Oh, all right, moving on. So the next question: would you sell your soul to the devil, and what would you do with your magic cloak?
Hail Satan! Let's do this.
Well, what would you do with your magic cloak?
That's not our podcast, dude. We love you, last podcast.
What powers do you get with a magic cloak? Is it like a predetermined set of powers, or you can just do like any power?
Well, it seems to me that it's all based on the creativity of whoever has the cloak, because, you know, when the father starts to come to, he starts putting flowers all over the wall, which is not anything that Mr. Boogity
really
seems to be able
that
to
part
do.
Of the movie, I'm not gonna lie.
So isn't that fun?
That was the sweetest part of that movie.
The best interior decorator you possibly could.
Can you say that again?
You would full blown turn into the best interior decorator that you possibly could, and start snapping your fingers, and like before you know it, you'd have like the IKEA magazine like in your house that would be like completely perfect everywhere. Like everything would be perfect. It would be beautiful.
All right, I'm sold. I'm definitely selling my soul to the devil for the IKEA.
So like when the dad was So I was like, when the dad was doing all the flowers and things like that, I was like, man, that guy would make a fucking killing on Valentine's Day.
Because he's
just everything is roses, carnations, Gerber daisies, boogity boogity.
No, carnations. That's not a thing either.
I don't know. I will speak in the defense of the carnation. You can dye them.
We can argue about that later.
So after watching and seeing what Mr. Boogity actually did with his cloak, I have been inspired.
Oh.
And
to wear more cloaks?
The evil in me would happily sell my soul for a magic cloak. And I feel like I would take that cloak and find the family with the thickest skin ever. And I would terrorize the crap out of them.
Whoa. So you do exactly what Mr. Boogity did?
I mean, as long as I find a family that can handle it like that family did, they did not need therapy. They like me personally, if I was that family, I would be on an antipsychotic. I'd be on antidepressants. I'd be on anti-anxieties. I'd be on like high-powered tranquilizers. I'd need to see a therapist probably 4 or 5 times a week. Like I would not be able to normally function. I probably wouldn't be able to laugh ever again. But that family found a way to stomach the most horrible things that they faced and find humor in it. They became closer. I think Mr. Boogity actually brought that family closer. They bonded.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's a waste of a cloak.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I'm sorry.
I bet you have a better answer.
Listen, if I'm going to sell my soul to the devil for a cloak, I'm going to be like, I don't know. I imagine myself, honestly, now I'm thinking about it, I just see myself like as Aleister Crowley with like the 3-pointed hat, and I'm like, this cloak looks very intimidating, right? And I use it for like wicked sex magic and like chaos magic and like take over the world. But that sounds real selfish, but I don't know when Satanism is supposed to not be selfish.
Mm-hmm. It's a do as you will, right?
Yeah, it's a do as you will kind of thing. Like, everybody's like looking at me like I'm a freak, and I'm like,
my understanding of Satanism.
I don't joke about this, right? But also, bye.
No, bye.
No, I mean, I'll talk about bye. No, I mean, I'm not gonna go into like my 3-hour discourse of like chaos magic and why Satanism works and anything like that. This is a family friendly podcast.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Not at all.
This is for adults.
100%, right?
Yeah, fuck that.
Anyway, hi, Mae.
Ooh, Bailey cursed.
Like I noticed that for a guy who had so many like amazing powers, I mean, like he can possess people, like. He got his ass kicked by a fucking vacuum cleaner. And then at the end, he's like, this is my wife, who he does this like bouffant hairstyle, right? Like, and then all of a sudden the other woman who magically has like the daughter who magically has the same outfit. How'd she get that, right? Like, where was her seamstress? Like, what the hell was going on? And she's like, I'm actually a widow Marian. And he's like, like it was like if you went to like a nightclub or something and you saw the lights go on for a second, he's
Mr.
like
Boogity is pretty Betty. Tunnel visioned. I mean, he's lost all connection with the English language other yeah. than Boogity Boo.
Yeah.
and he's just like Marion. Oh, that's the other word he knows. Boogity Boo and Marion.
But I think Sean made a good point is by the beginning of the second film, they not only not only are the kids just tired of their dad's shit, right? Like he's doing all the jokes and they're like, fuck off, man. Like before, whenever they're like, yeah, good one, dad. And then the other kid's like, yeah, good one, dad. Oh, he said that. And like, but then the second one, they're like openly mocking him, right? Like after he took over their entire family, it's like if you were just like, oh, Charles Manson, meh. And it's like, what the fuck? You like, this is not okay. But they took it in stride. So God bless them.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We are overlooking this very important like origin story of Mr. Boogity, and that is creepy old pilgrim dude who liked to scare children.
Yes.
Stole the child of the woman that he wanted to be with and kept him from her until she wanted to marry him. And dad is crazy.
And then blew up the house.
And then blew up the house. So, and then like the family goes through all this shit. They vanquish Mr. Boogity with a vacuum, as Adam has reminded us all.
I think, you know, that's perfect.
Yes, Luigi's Mansion. It's how you kill ghosts. It's very important that we all mark this. But like, whenever Mr. Boogity makes an appearance again in the second movie, they're like, like balderdash, like, you know, like it's, and it is like that concept of like, you were so scared of Charles Manson, and then like everyone's like, Charles Manson, you crazy quaint, get him out of here. This
laughing about it. I've got nothing else to say.
Also, Bailey, I have a question for you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You mentioned when we watched the movie that you said that you practiced the mom's laugh when you were a kid. So I actually really need to hear that. Thank you for applauding me, everyone. I appreciate that validation.
I will do that. But I also said, and no one can see this because they're just listening. I mean, y'all can see it. And I guess y'all can react. But I also practiced the nod of Lazarus, I dig graves.
Okay, so can I hear the
because
laugh?
He does the most impossibly first. Slow, imperceptible nod. Just barely perceptible, not imperceptible. But yes, a laugh. Okay.
You are, I am a dad, I'm very funny, and I'm most likely wearing a robe right now.
Okay, so this is hard because sometimes I choke while doing this.
It is hard to do. I tried several times. It's hard because like it's like gasping, like yeah. So wait, can we see the nod and then we'll
listeners
will imagine things.
Thank you. It's very controlled.
I feel like I was there in that graveyard.
Yes, I am really, really creepy. All right. So, anybody else have anything about the cloak? What you do with a magic cloak if you decided to sell your soul to the devil?
I want to just quickly retract my statement from earlier about IKEA and amend it to room service vintage.
An
entire household of room service vintage, I will definitely sell my soul.
Oh, are they sponsoring us now?
Room service vintage, if you're willing to give me like a runner rug for the podcast. I mean, the podcast could really use it. Not me, but the podcast could really use a runner rug and maybe a couple of end tables and a bookcase and some other nice clothing.
Yeah, North Loop Austin, check it out.
I'm honestly disappointed that I'm the only one who's just like, listen, I just need that cloak to hail Satan with.
No, that's it's legit,
I'm like obviously
though.
The party person of this group.
Turn up.
Just cooler.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. Last question. Whoops. I just hit myself in the nose with the microphone.
We're making a band.
Oh, there's lots of wind noises. It's
Mr. It's, Boogity.
Yeah.
Boogity.
What was that?
I just like that Mr. Lightning. Boogity has his name and his catchphrase are the same.
Okay.
He kind of overkilled that one a little bit.
On the lighter side of things. Kanye. Does anybody have any memories of practical jokes that they played when they were kids? Well, Aaron has a story. Eric has a story.
This isn't something I did. It's something my dad did to me. So when I was a kid, I wanted a pet bird. And my dad was like, you know what, kid? You can have a bird if you go and catch it.
What?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Hey, I grew up in Arkansas, so this isn't like uncommon to like go out and like catch a wild animal kind of thing. Okay. We had cats in the family. Like my wanting a bird was very just like just being like, I want a pet bird, like kind of thing. Anyway, so I go, I'm like very competitive. So I was like, I'm going to catch a damn bird, Dad. Show you. So I go run out in our backyard, the creepy backyard that I mentioned in the previous episode about the creepy dreams. Anyway, running around the backyard, trying to catch this bird. I go back in like a child's hour, so it was like probably like 15 minutes. And I'm like, Dad, I can't catch a bird. And he's like, well, you know, I catch a bird, kid. And I go, no, tell me how to catch a bird, Dad. And he's like, well, if you can sprinkle salt on the bird's tail, it won't fly away. And you can catch it and grab it. So I go out there with a damn salt shaker. And I start running around the backyard. And anytime a bird lands, I'm like running over with the salt shaker, just spilling salt all over the ground. This is before dinner. I go back in another child's hour, which is 15 minutes. And I'm like, Dad, I can't catch a bird. I can't get salt on the end of its tail. My dad looks at me. He's at the piano. And he goes, Kid, if you can get close enough to a bird to put salt on its table, you can grab it with your bare hands. And I just remember being just like flames on the side of my face.
Oh,
just
I bet.
So angry at my dad. When we go to sit down at dinner later, my mom's like, where the hell is the salt? So that's the only prank that's the first prank that comes to mind.
You know what that reminds me of? When, what was the bird hunting?
Snipe hunting. So snipe hunting's kind of an old school tale where you take the dumbest person in the group, which at some point was me with my family.
At some point it was me too. Yeah.
And at some point it was Bailey. Both Bailey and I were probably the gullible ones.
I also just loved playing along.
We had so many cousins that spanned the generations above us. And so my sister was 3 years older. We had a cousin that was 1 year older than Bailey. And that just goes all the way up until Jenny. She's how much older than us? I don't know, 7, 8 years, something like that. But we all grew up on deer leases, out in the woods, having property, this and that. And when you go snipe hunting, essentially, the idea is to go out in the woods in the middle of the night.
With a trash bag.
And you take sticks. You take the two best sticks you can find.
I don't remember that.
And you clank these sticks together.
Make as much noise as possible. That's really important when attracting snipes.
To attract these snipes, and when you actually see and find the snipe, which has been described as like similar to like a raccoon mixed with a possum, mixed with like the most dangerous creature you can ever imagine.
I just thought it was a bird.
Bird, I don't know. Like, this is the thing about snipes is they don't actually exist. so everybody will describe them as something completely different. And then when you're in the middle of the woods as a young child, it's funny for the person that takes you snipe hunting to run away from you.
Oh, well, they also will tear holes in your bag and tell you that the snipes have run through your trash bag.
And before you know it, you're a young child in the middle of the woods, in the dark, and have no idea where you are, as your older cousins laugh at you when you come back, and you're like, ha ha, that was really funny. I've been in the woods for like an hour trying to figure out how the hell to get out of here. Like, yeah, you got me.
So, my experience wasn't that bad, but
I mean, it wasn't that bad. Maybe not in an hour, a child's hour, if you will. A child's hour, if you will.
Which is
so,
like 10
roughly
minutes.
Roughly 15 minutes. So, but you only get caught once by that one. But there's always somebody else that you can take snipe hunting. That's fun as well.
Yeah, it's like, so,
pass it down.
Yeah.
Pass it down.
Practical jokes?
Anybody else? Practical jokes?
I may.
Oh.
Oh.
Hi,
Jaime! Give it up for Jaime, people. Woo! Give it up for Jaime.
Yeah. Yeah, this is... Jaime is... this is the voice of Jaime working through me. Yeah. Boogity! Boogity! Boogity!
Boogity.
Yeah, see, you saw that? Oh, kidding! He did that like 7 times. He's like, boogity! Kidding! And it was funny every time. Yeah, they did that too. Bye. We used to have like this wolf mask for Halloween, and like I don't know why, but I got handed down to basically cousin to cousin to cousin, and every like it was like my older cousin had it, and it was really terrifying. But they would only put it on like they never really told us that they had it, and so we had this little alleyway, right? This like arch in the house. And like they would walk by, and so you'd just be hanging out like with your family, just talking or whatever, like after Halloween, like well after Halloween. So it'd be like Christmas or something. You're like opening your gifts and like a wolf would just walk by, like somebody like a werewolf. And like we'd just be like opening it. And I was like, oh no way, a transfer. What the fuck? And like they were just like, ha! And like they would make sure that you were the only one watching. And so you would look and you'd be crying like uncontrollably. And your parents are like, what is wrong with you? We got you everything that you asked for on your list. Why are you complaining? And you're just like, it was the wolf. Oh my God. And so then of course, when it was our turn, we of course tortured the younger kids. And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure they still have it. So yeah.
All right, one more thing before we wrap up the party. I promised a reveal. So everybody that's been listening so far knows this already, but I want to gauge your reaction. So this movie, when the concept originated, it was meant to be not Mr. Boogity, but it was called Cheap Thrills, and it was a movie meant for Cheech and Chong. All right.
I mean, it would explain all the eerie fog that's floating through the entire movie. It would just be like Cheech and Chong, like taking enormous bong
just
rips and like they're like blowing them into the cemetery before like Mr. Boogity gets his cloak and they're like, whoa, it's so foggy around here, but like really it's like them just like
why
ripping
does it smell like skunk?
The big fat joint. So
well, all right, well, thank you everybody for coming. Get
thank
out of
you
here
so
I'm
much.
Just kidding, leave when
thank
you want
you so much.
All right, so Sean, what was that like for you watching these movies after so many years with so many other people?
Well, this was my first time on the podcast, so thank you so much for having me. What a wonderful time. Thank you for allowing me to pick the movies. These movies I hold very dear to my heart, and I know that Bailey holds them very dear to her heart, and it was such a pleasure. It's been probably 7 years that we've been able it's been 7 years since I've seen these movies.
Longer since we've watched them together.
Definitely the second one, seen it on Amazon Prime, and the clarity that comes with Amazon Prime as opposed to VHS record. I mean, we watched those VHSs so many times that we destroyed them pretty much. So there's like massive periods of time where we're over here trying to, work on the static and get the static out, and it just wouldn't work. So like there was a lot of reveal that I never saw this time.
A lot of details.
It was hilarious. I'm glad that we had so many friends here in the room that could laugh with us and enjoy them. And it wasn't a complete bomb. I don't think anybody here regrets watching these two movies. And if you do, we don't really care, because it wasn't for you. It was for Bailey and I. So thank you so much for endearing this and sitting through this. And I'm glad that everyone got to enjoy it. And I had a blast. It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love you to death. You're so
too,
awesome.
Sean.
Yeah.
Aww. Well,
bringing families together.
Well, I don't know what else to say. I feel like that's a great note to end on.
Yeah. That's all, folks. Bye.
Well, until next time, return your videos here.
Yeah. Be kind. Rewind. I took a walk through the graveyard.
Memory Static is hosted by Bailey Moore and produced and edited by me, Eric Dumig. Special thanks to Sean Stone for being the guest on this month's episode, and thanks again to Chewy for hosting the party. Original music for this episode is written and performed by Bailey and Colin Moore. If you like the show, please subscribe at your favorite podcast platform, and if you're on iTunes, please consider writing us a review, as this will help get the show out to more people. As always, thanks to our partygoers for coming on out and watching the movie with us. You are all champions. Thanks for listening.